You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. That's the
spirit. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Johnny. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, how was your... You've had a quick jaunt overseas a few days away.
I have indeed.
Where have you been and what have you managed to cram in?
I've been to Thailand, Malaysia and Australia. I was really going to a conference in Australia, but chose to have a little holiday beforehand in Thailand and Malaysia. Malaysia I've been to before. Thailand, apart from one stopover at an airport, never been there before. And so that's what's filling my mind today, Johnny.
Oh, I was going to say Malaysia's quite a melting pot, isn't it?
Oh, it is. But of course, the great contrast religiously is that Malaysia's predominantly Muslim,
right,
whereas Thailand is predominantly Buddhist. And that's what makes for a very, very interesting contrast.
Mm. Different vibes.
Very, very different vibes. Although when you go further south, and Phuket, where I've spent a little bit of time, you can see the sort of movement towards, there's more Muslims evident, and I gather the closer you get to the Malaysian border, the British, when they colonized Malaysia, did a deal with the Thai king and probably cut the border in the wrong place. And probably, really, it should have been further north if it was going to incorporate all the Muslim-dominated parts of Thailand. But, of course, that was against Thai interests for other reasons. So this is... The king of Thailand is a Buddhist king.
Did the old king... Was when they recently had a king pass away?
Yes, indeed. So the king passed away about 11 months ago, and what fascinated me is on the 25th of October will be the first anniversary of his death. And to this day, there'll be a huge... I think his cremation will take place on the 25th of October.
What? They've been holding the body, kind of thing.
Rather postponed. Oh, yes. And in the meantime, when I visited the Royal Palace, there's absolutely vast queues snaking their way through the palace and out in the grounds, wanting to do reverence to the body of King Bhumibol.
They're right up in royalty, aren't they? They'd love the king scenario.
Yes. Generally. And this really, really intrigued me. Because most Thais, at least in the centre of Bangkok, probably not so true out in the provinces, are wearing black or black and white in mourning for the king. And it's clear that his funeral is going to be a huge religious and political event. And yet the government of Thailand, if anybody can work out anything about it, is completely opposite from this. It's a military dictatorship at the moment, and the king has presided over, I think, 17 military coups in the course of his very long reign, and yet he's held, as you made reference to, in huge respect.
Right.
Almost, I think, every Thai king has to do a period in the monastery. It's, I think, a fairly nominal period in the monastery. I think the current king did his mandatory fortnight and got out as fast as he could. But the current king, I think, has very little likelihood of becoming the great legend that the present king is.
Do you think they dig royalty more than the British?
I think this king merited and gained a huge respect. But the current king... I'm not even sure that he lives in Thailand.
Wow.
Certainly, he wasn't living in Thailand when he became king. And not that one can find out many personal details in Thailand, but out of Thailand, you can quickly find out plenty of colourful details. Three divorces, great unclarity as to who are the legitimate heirs, complete, strange stories circulating about the king and his behaviour and his love of fast cars and the debts that he's incurred. And, you know, I mean, just typical upper elite that has no particular adherence to a country.
The king, which had passed away,
King Bhumibol, yes.
What about him has sort of commanded this great respect and love from his people?
Tradition.
It is tradition. National Museum, there was everywhere in Thailand, there were displays about the king and huge memorial things. I'd never seen anything like it in terms of the level of reverence. But I found I got to know it when I went to the National Museum where there was a special display. And what it showed was, you're right, firstly, the king reinforced tradition. He reinforced religion, not just Buddhism.
Is he considered like the closest to God in this whole realm?
Not necessarily, but he wrote innumerable books of sayings which did appear sort of proverbial. I mean, I felt they were fairly trite in some ways, but I mean, I don't suppose the king's going to be a deep thinker.
Right.
But it would appear that Thais would reverence his sayings, and I think in effect this is a kind of Buddhist monarchy where king and state and religion are intertwined, and that's very, very evident when you visit the palace, where this magnificent, the Emerald Buddha is housed in this vast and elaborate temple, which is most of what you get to see when you visit the royal palace. And it's an astonishing affair.
With all the military coups that have happened under his reign, how come the military dictators?
John just shook his hands around when he said "reign" as well. I should just let you know.
Sure.
It was kind of a jazz hands moment.
I wasn't sure the best term for it, but how come the military haven't decided to get rid of the king as well at the same time as taking over the government?
The king, you know, the previous king, Rama. He was Rama the Ninth.
People loved
the new
that
king
guy.
Is Rama the Tenth. Rama the Eighth had been deposed by a democratic coup in 1932, and had lived out of the country from that. This king, when he initially became king in 1946, he didn't immediately come back, but he came back in 51, and effectively he became the only constant. And he was very careful not to do more than sort of formal interventions. So he never, ever made any direct political decisions. He sought to bring calm, and he may have tried to talk the military out of some of their coups. But, I mean, the most recent one in 2015, for example, that overturned a constitution agreed in 2008. You can see I've been reading up on Thai history.
Right on.
I guess he was really very elderly and very, very frail. And so he was kind of a symbol of the state, but not an active player in the state, except about the care of the ancient ruins, about the care of the Buddhist way. So he was the expert in tradition, and maybe that's the safe role for monarchy, is just to focus on tradition. I don't think that the new king can have anything like this status for precisely those reasons. He doesn't
have a colourful background.
Yeah, far too colourful.
It's too rock and roll.
I don't think people would want to read his sayings about how to live their lives.
Oh, well, so, nevertheless, he is where he is. Sucked in everyone else.
Yeah, and the last reflection I've got is that it's intriguing looking at Buddhism in a position of military power. Of course, I mean, you can see a lot more of that horrendously in Myanmar at the moment.
Right.
Where the harsh side of Buddhism is very, very evident. And less so in Thailand. I mean, I think Buddhism is largely relative. It does produce a softer, more benign approach to government than maybe the Muslim regimes of Thailand and of Bangladesh, for example. So different religions do have an effect on government, but they don't totally transform the nasty, malicious desire to get power, I don't think.
All right, Peter. Well, thank you very much for a very interesting That's the Spirit. If you've got more tales from your travels, you can fill us in next week.
We might look at the religion of Australia next week.
Yeah!
I'm real keen for that, actually.
All right. Very good.
Cheers, mate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.